room is called the sanctuary. Did you know that? There are lots of other rooms in this building. This room is called the sanctuary, but it's broken up into two different spots. This spot up here is called the chancel area. Lots of things to know when you come to church. Do you know what? Hi.
God, for putting us in a boat on your sea.
Our boat might be small, but we are all in it together. And we hold on to one another with your, through your love and your care. Amen. Amen. Okay, I think you go to kids' time or Sunday school, nursery. Yep. You're going to go. Bye. Thank you for moving. I'll see you later. Mm-hmm. Do you want to go once? You want to hang out here? Okay. It's okay? I invite you to continue in a spirit of prayer. Oh, and listen to some music.
Might be in ministry with one another, with our neighborhood, and with the world all around a good opportunity to find out where things are in our kitchen. If you have been here before, I know we have new people, and how things work and what to do with it. So we'd love to meet you and work together on that. Thanks.
Thanks, you clean the kitchen. Is that right?
If the kitchen ladies would leave to go to the basement, listen to me. I'm sorry. At the beginning of the last hymn, so we can get prepared. And I invite all of you to please come down and share.
Bye-bye. We're celebrating a potluck after worship today. I come and eat, whether you brought something or not. There will be an abundance of food, and you are all welcome. This is maybe my third Sunday that I've been here, and it's been a joy to be here. I'm still rearranging the furniture in my house and in my head, and learning a new way of being in ministry in this community of faith. And I encourage you to, I'm here, and if you need anything, to contact me, to call or text or email or come and make an appointment or spend some time. I look forward, I'm eager to get to know who you are and who we are together and how I can be of service. And as we share in worship like this, if you have a hard time hearing me, it's okay. I think it's good that we're here, and I want us to be able to participate fully. So let me know if you cannot hear me. You can either just yell out right now if you have a hard time hearing me. It would be very clear, and I would not misunderstand it. But also, if you feel like you need to get to me through somebody, that nudge that these elbows, we were talking about elbows, just elbow somebody and have them raise their hand. I invite you to continue your spirit of prayer. I invite you to consider the ways that God is encouraging you to be in mission and ministry in this community of faith and in our world. I invite you to consider the ways that God is urging you to grow deeper in your faith, that you might practice your faith, that you might live a life of generosity, of grace, and of peace. I invite you to give and receive our morning offering.
I'm
saying, "O God, you have brought all your people into a universal family, searching across heaven and earth. Find us together with such power that in serving one another, we may neither count the cost nor seek the reward. Turn our hearts to think of the common good. Amen."
You may be seated. Scripture today is from Luke 21, 25 to 28. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. In the oikumene, there will be dismay among nations, and their confusion over the roaring of the sea and surging waves. The planets and other heavenly bodies will be shaken, causing people to faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the oikumene. Then they will see the human one, coming on a cloud with power and great splendor. Now when these things begin to happen, stand up straight and raise your heads, because your redemption is near.
Thank you. I like thinking about the church as a boat. I like the image that is printed on the front of your bulletin. You want to take a moment to look at it? This image is the logo, if you will, for the World Council of Churches, which is an organization that gathers together denominations and the Catholics and the Protestants and all of the Christian traditions. Pentecostals, Baptists, United Methodists, Episcopalians, trying to get all of us, reminding us that we're all in the same boat, so we might as well learn how to get along together. I won't ask you how it's working. We'll just scoot on along from there. But this logo is actually an ancient Christian symbol. The early, our sisters and brothers in our early Christian tradition used this symbol and this word, oikumene, to describe what the church is. I like that we're a boat, all of us on the same boat together, gliding along on the sea, recognizing that there are a lot of other boats in the ocean, right? I like using this metaphor, knowing that all of the boats, the Christian boat and the Muslim boat and the Buddhist, all of the boats are being held together, are being held on the magnificent ocean. I feel like there's power in that. And I think there's power in the word or in the idea of oikumene. Have you ever heard this word used before? I grew up in a church in Silver Bay, in the United Protestant Church, gathering of five different denominations in a tiny little town. I think it might even be the first church, probably the most amazing church in the whole world, but you're getting really close. They did that a long time ago, the gathered together denominations, because they realized that we were all on the same boat. And so the altar table in that church had on the front, just like this has holes in it, that one had in the front, this image on the altar table. So I saw it every Sunday as a little girl growing up. And eventually, of course, I asked, "What the heck does that word mean? What does oikumene?" Mom, my mom was my pastor. My mom said, "So that they may all be one." That's what that word means. And that's what we celebrate when we gather around the communion table. There's a little more to this word than "so that they may all be one," but that's a good definition. If somebody were to ask you today, "What does this mean?" when you walk out of here, if you remember nothing, remember the hope that we may all be one. Oikumene. Oikumene is a Greek word. The root of the word many then means the household. The household of God. Or, like, all the people. Or, as Thomas Merton said, here comes everyone. That's also what oikumene means. This word oikos, and I think you might even think that this word oikumene, if you haven't heard it before, you might start using it because it's so useful. This word oikumene has its fingers in everything. You remember that root word oikos? Just said it. House? Yeah? So that's that pref, that root is the root for a lot of other words that we use all the time. For example, since you asked me, maybe none of you did, I'm going to tell you anyway. For example, oikonomika. Oikonomika, economics. Economics! The word, the root of the word economics is oikos, which makes sense because we are talking about how the household and how do we run the house that we live in. Household administration, or the class I flunked in college. No, the branch of knowledge, which is concerned with the production, the consumption, and transfer of wealth. Oikonomics, economics. I'm learning more about how to be a better administrator. This word, oikos, is used in a lot of different places. Can you think of any other roots that use the word oikos, that word for oikos is the root? What's that?
Yogurt.
There's a yogurt. I love yogurt. Yes. Ecology. Oikosology. Oikosology. Ecology. You got it. Which is the study of the house. Economics about all of these aspects of our human life here on earth. It could be that our whole lives could be seen through the lens of faith, and that our faith, our oikumene, could instruct and shape and guide how we live daily in our lives, but in the whole, in our oikumene, what would our world look like then? If every human pursuit were subject to the healing ministry of Jesus Christ? What if we had an economics of healing? Oikumene is the centeredness in which we live. It's the reality of our world. It's not just the way that we would like it to be. This is the vision. This is how God has created our world. We are interdependent with one another. Do you want me to show you how I know this? This isn't some idea, although I would love it to be lived out in our economics and our ecology, and certainly in our churches. But it's the way we live. Take, for example, anybody. Since you all know each other's names and you all are living the life of one another, take a look at the tag in your back of your, this part right here. Just grab the collar of the person sitting next to you and look and see where their clothes are. And It's weird. There may be some panic, and maybe it is that all hell has broken loose for your life today. Maybe in our world. But here's the good news. The problems, the troubles, they're there, yes. But they may be many, and they're complicated, but they're linked. And then, so too are the solutions. The problems may be many, but they're linked. So too then are the solutions. The solutions are linked, and there are many. The interdependence of the gospel means that we can feel the pain of trouble and panic, and we can send love and good intention and oikumene over here, and it won't matter. What we do in this ship, this nave, matters. What we do on this corner in Duluth impacts the world around us. This is good news when we choose to do the good work of Jesus Christ. May it be so. May it be for us good news today. We're going to sing one of my favorite hymns, Praise the Lord the Almighty.